It's 12 past eight on Breakfast, and staying with mental health issues, we will, because it's a critical time on that front here in Australia. An increasing number of people are seeking help, and while there's been substantial spending in this area and the great promise of the NDIS, outcomes for patients haven't improved substantially. The federal government has ordered a review of the mental health sector. That report is due in November. Mental Health Australia today will outline its submission to the Mental Health Review at the Future of Medicare conference in Sydney, and Frank Quinlan is the CEO of Mental Health Australia. Frank, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Frank, Mental Health Australia, in your submission, say the system is broken. Now, I've heard that before, but in a nutshell, what do you say is broken?
The fundamental problem that we've got is that we direct all of our resources, or most of our resources, to the acute end when people are very sick. Even there, we don't do a very good job often servicing them. But we invest far fewer resources in preventing a mental illness and in stopping people from becoming sick in the first place, or stopping them to progressing to serious illness. So we sort of feel like we've got the system back to front at the moment.
It's the same. Just to butt in for a second, I mean, that's the same argument about healthcare treatment generally, that if we spent more on prevention, we would need less money spent on hospitals. But, of course, the acute care, if it's not there, if people are waiting in trolleys on hospital beds, there's a clamour for that, a political clamour. I mean, the same is, you know, we must have spaces in our hospitals for people with psychiatric illness. We must be able to help people when they're really sick. And the dollars are finite. Is that the issue?
That's part of the issue. Certainly it's about spending those dollars wisely, as well as much as it is getting access to new dollars. So we know at the moment that even our acute systems that I talk about aren't very well connected to things like housing, or to things like financial support, or to things like the other social and community needs that people who experience mental illness have. We talk, with no evidence really, but we talk about the 80-20 rule in mental health, which is to say that only 20% of people's needs in the mental health space relate to what we would call sort of clinical or health needs, and about 80% of their needs relate to social and community participation and supporting people in the community so that they don't get ill in the first place.
So when you envisage as you do in this submission, a totally new approach, is that fundamental or central to your approach, that mental health is built into policies across portfolios?
That's right. So I often say at the moment at conferences like the one I'm speaking at today that it's a mistake to think that we have a mental health system in Australia. At the moment we have a range of services and programs. Sometimes they're connected to each other, but more often than not they aren't. When they are connected, they're connected because good people make those systems work. Good GPs, good mental health nurses, good community workers make the systems work. What we need to look at is a long-term process of reform, because we've always tried to rush this. We need to say, well, here's a 10-year plan, and here are the goals and targets that we're going to set up. We're actually going to aim for these. And we need to bring in housing providers, employment providers, education providers and others, so that people who experience mental illness are actually getting a suite of services wrapped around them, instead of getting, you know, one-off services.
Frank, that sounds precisely like the goal of the National Disability Insurance Scheme for people with disability. And we have done that. We've made that shift now. We're starting it. Let's see how it emerges and evolves, and it's difficult.
Yes.
But there has been a reimagining of our approach to disability in this country and the funding of it. Is that exactly what you're asking for to happen within the mental health space?
Look, I think it's on that sort of scale. So one of the important things that the National Disability Insurance Scheme does, for instance, is it starts with asking people what it is they need. So people who experience disability are asked what they need, and they're given control over the resources that they need to support them. We'd like to see something very similar in the mental health space, because one of the things that we do far too infrequently is actually ask people who experience mental illness what it is they need, and ask them how it is that they experience the services that are provided to them. And often there's a mismatch between what services are providing and what people in the community really want from them.
There's a funding squeeze all round in this country at the moment. We've got, you know, to use the government's phrase, they say a budget emergency, and things are being cut back everywhere. Is your submission asking for more money?
Not directly in the first instance, though I think it's very difficult to imagine a mental health system that isn't going to require future investment.
There's a lot of money spent on mental health in this country if you look at state budgets, state investment and federal investment.
Yeah, there is, but there's less money spent on mental health than on many other health conditions. And given the burden of disease, mental health has traditionally experienced something like half of the sort of investment that would be warranted if you matched the burden of disease caused by mental illness. So mental illness is very pervasive. But I think it's more important that we focus on this system restructure that we need and the way we need to actually link the systems that we have working on the ground already so that they can operate more efficiently, because we know that we could do much more with the resources that we currently have if only we could connect those services together.
Again, that's sounding a lot like the NDIS model, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is.
It's 18 past eight on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Frank Quinlan. Frank Quinlan is the CEO of Mental Health Australia. Frank, the government has commissioned a review of under its Mental Health Commission, a review of mental health services and programs across all levels of government, looking at efficiency and effectiveness of programs and services. Has the government added to that cost savings, given the budgetary climate we're in? Do you think that that review will be a cloak for budget cuts?
Look, at the moment, the government have maintained consistently that they have an open agenda and that they're not specifically looking for cuts. It's hard to imagine that any responsible government at any time isn't going to look for savings that they can achieve if they can be achieved appropriately. But the Commission have been asked to look at programs and services and to look at ways in which the spending that government makes can be sharpened and better directed. And so we're hopeful that the government are committed to this process in the long term, because there's much that can be done in the mental health space to improve the sorts of services that people are getting currently.
Has some of that improvement already happened under the NDIS? Because mental illness is one of the areas covered under the National Disability Insurance Scheme, isn't it?
It is. It is, and it's welcome, and we're in the early days. But the challenge of the mental health space, the challenge of the mental health and its relationship to the NDIS, is that some of the programs and services that are delivered or have been delivered traditionally in the mental health space are captured within the mandate of the NDIS, but some are not. And you will have heard the readiness review when they used the analogy that said the NDIS was like a plane taking off whilst under construction. We've extended the analogy to say that the problem for mental health is doubly problematic, because that new plane that's taking off under construction is actually being constructed out of the parts of an old plane that's still flying the mental health system, or parts of the mental health system.
So there's a concern that they're taking
people.
Some of your budget and not and leaving other people high and dry, is that right?
Yeah. The problem is whether all of the people who were once captured by the mental health system, the programs that are subsumed into the NDIS, will in fact still be provided with services through the NDIS. And that's the sort of discussion that we're having at the moment.
Okay, and just finally, before I let you go, because there's also another review going on, and that's the McClure Review on Welfare Reform. It suggested that disability support payments be limited only to people with permanent and profound disability and no work capacity. What will that mean if it's adopted?
Look, I think it's really problematic, and we've seen this discussion a couple of times. It's problematic for us to be thinking about mental illness, as we've heard discussed, talking about mental illness as an episodic illness, as if that means people don't have permanent impairments and permanent incapacities. I think it's much more important that we focus on what people's capacities are at any given time and their potential to retrain, to recover, to re-enter the workforce, if that's what they do. That's much more important than focusing on this notion of permanency, because I really don't know what that means. Some people who are permanently incapacitated, I know of a quadriplegic fellow who works 10, 15 hours a week. Now, the reason he works is because the technology enables him to. He's permanently capacitated, there's no question of that, permanently incapacitated, but has a tremendous capacity to contribute, provided the right sorts of supports are around him.
And just, I suppose, if your mental illness is episodic, doesn't mean that the anxiety about when those episodes will occur are not debilitating to some degree too.
No, that's right. And it's also true that, you know, I think that diabetes is somewhat an episodic illness. Heart disease is episodic. It really is, I think, how we manage the whole of a person's life and put them on this recovery journey.
Frank Quinlan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. If you don't mind, Fran, I did want to just say thanks to the ABC. I know you're about to launch on this Mental As campaign in the lead up to World Mental Health Day on the 10th of October. And I think it's a credit to Mark Scott and the ABC that we're going to see a national discussion about mental illness, because I think we've seen a bit of a crescendo in the discussion around mental health some years ago. There's a lot to do, and I think people are really looking forward to engaging in this discussion.
A lot of talk needs to be done. Frank, thanks again.
Thanks, Frank.
Frank Quinlan is the CEO of Mental Health Australia, representing the health sector in this country, and the National Mental Health Commission will present their report to the government in November.